If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Thanks for joining me, Nick. I'm so happy you're here.
Thank you for having me.
So both Nick and I came in from two different places. I came all the way from New York. Actually, I came from Palm Beach, and you came from where?
Orange County, California.
Okay, so thank you for doing this. Did you come just to see me?
Of course.
Amazing.
Well, you call, I come.
Oh, and I just came to see you. So we had to meet halfway, sort of. I couldn't go all the way there. I know too many people there. I needed to get away for a second. So have we actually met in person before? I was trying to remember.
I do not think so. You were kind of like the legend, urban legend. Back in the day when I first started becoming popular with started doing appearances at Tao Group and doing all this stuff. And everyone's like, you know, if Rachel doesn't know you, you're not really anyone.
Ah, I love hearing that. Wait, so I don't think that when you were coming to Tao, I was still there. I think I had moved.
You just left.
I had just left, and I was working for them in New York, and then opening up their Hampton spots and doing all that stuff and starting Stanton Social down there and stuff like that. Okay, so we missed each other in Vegas.
Yes.
But I had heard a little bit about this, you know, this thing on the internet, thedirty.com. I didn't really pay attention to it because my life was so... It was really about protecting people and being the wingman. And like, I really didn't pay attention to any of that. And my job was like my life. I loved my job. So I will just tell this story that the first time thedirty.com like stood out in my head and I really knew who you were was after the scandal that I was in.
Okay.
Probably not even 24 hours later. I had my one friend left, like everyone disappeared, right? It was the day after Thanksgiving. And my friend Tim says to me, Rachel, I really need to tell you something. And he had been on my bed scrolling through shit, you know? He's like, there's good news and there's bad news. I'm like, what? Meanwhile, I'm panicking. All the TVs in my house are on. My phone's ringing off the hook with people I don't know. Friends and family are like, what's wrong with you? Like, my mother's like, change your name. I look outside and there's like 50 paparazzi. He's like, so the good news is you're a household name. You're famous now. The bad news is you're on thedirty.com. And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, but that's kind of like a claim to fame, you know?
Well, when I was in the situation I was in.
No, well, sleeping with Tiger Woods is, you know, I don't think it's as bad as, I guess in that time period, you were probably panicking. But like now you look back on it, it's kind of like a trophy.
Well, I don't know that I would put it like that. I mean, it really ruined my life. I mean, what happened?
I agree with you in that respect, but also the same respect, like the opportunities really, you know, the doors have opened.
Well, let's hold on for a second. Back then, let's see, that was 14 years ago now. This was 2009. It's not like it is now that you could sleep with somebody famous and then get a TV show.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, right. And also, I came from the space where I was not looking to do that to get famous. I Correct. Was trying actually, to hide it.
Yeah,
I
you were in love.
I was trying to protect him.
You were in love.
Well, I won't say that. But yeah, I mean, I thought that I was with somebody that I cared about and that
Rachel,
cared about me.
You were in love.
All right, whatever. I may or may not
you
have
can say
it.
I was in love with you, Tiger.
Stop. So, all right, let's just... So the thing is that it was really horrifying to me to have the entire world start talking to about me in that way.
Yeah.
And then to see quotes from people that I barely knew be like, oh yeah, I know Rachel, you could tell, because they walk through the nightclub. If I had turned them away, they're like, that girl's such a bitch or whatever. And then to see the words that were used, especially on thedirty.com, mistress, homewrecker, weapon of mass destruction, you know, all these crazy things that to me it did not represent, and it was so hurtful. And yes. I knew my life would never be the same.
And I think that's one of the things, and you know, I've been removed from it for 6 years, 7 years now from the dirty. And at that time, you know, cause you know me, it's those comments and those things that happen, they hurt people. That hurt me too. It wasn't something I was ever proud of. Mm-hmm. It's not something that I condoned. And I tried my best to control people, but you have to also understand there wasn't Instagram. There
right.
wasn't like Facebook was just becoming a thing. MySpace was still a thing. Mm-hmm. And people are starting to become keyboard warriors. Like
yeah.
that was the start of it. The Dirty created, I don't want to say it was a social network, but it was the first time where trolls could really have a home.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And you can't really control what people think. And the crazy part about this site that I created is that it was kind of like a cultural phenomenon because people actually could submit their neighbor for the first time.
Right.
It wasn't TMZ where famous people, you know, you're a public figure and it just comes with the territory. Mm-hmm. Now you're getting caught cheating or you're, you know, stealing something or whatever happens and someone can call you out. That's what I thought I was providing.
Right.
That third party platform where there was some sort of, you know, discourse.
Yeah.
Was it negative? In my personal opinion, I would say 78% yes. Was there positives from it? Yes. Mm-hmm. I think we broke some pretty big scandals and big stories. And it did give an outlet to the other side, not just, you know, the athletes, but the girls that were being used or pawns in the situation to give them a voice.
Right.
And yeah, we exposed, like, you know, there was obviously a lot more with the Tiger Woods stuff. There was a lot more women involved. Mm-hmm. And he had fun when he was in Vegas.
He sure did. Not with me, but yeah, with other people. So let's get back to how you actually started the Dirty.
Okay.
How did it come to you?
Honestly, at that time, reality TV was just starting. Mm-hmm. It was starting to get big. And I was like, okay, well, you know, Survivor and these shows are starting to happen. The Housewives are starting to happen. OC, I'm from Orange County. So I saw the Real Housewives and I was just like, wow, I'm like, these are all my neighbors. Like literally I lived in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, reality TV is so big. Why has no one done reality internet?
Right.
So my thought process was, okay, well, there's all these little Paris Hilton types in their towns, Scottsdale being the predominant one. Why don't I showcase these people and make them famous?
So it didn't start with you trying to break stories
no,
about celebrities.
Never.
It was local hot girls or whatever.
What started happening was, and that's what it was. It was literally like whoever the local girl was, you know, I was kind of mean, but I would make fun of them, right? And give them a character name and they would have nicknames and girls would start submitting themselves to me and say, hey, you know, what procedure should I get done?
Oh,
so
wow.
It started to become like, you know, I was younger and they're like, Nick, would you, we called it, would I sleep with that person?
Oh
right?
My God.
So it was in that vein. And then the club scene started getting really big.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were in high school, the cool kids that really, you know, or you're in college or whatever, that don't really make it into that like scene, they start getting into the club scene. They become
yeah.
club promoters and then they work their way up the ladder, the bartenders, whatever. And it's so incestual. They're all sleeping with everyone.
Yeah.
So it was so easy for them to hide behind the computer screen and submit a hot girl or what we call bottle rats, which are the girls getting the free drinks, right? And submit the 30K millionaires, the guys living off overdraft protection, trying to make sure that, that their card goes through on Grey Goose. You never know, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was so easy, and it was becoming the first meme. It was the first start of that culture, that phenomenon, like, oh my God, can we actually talk about people? Can we actually make fun of people?
So it's so interesting because, so you took a small, it wasn't a small town, but you took a town and you started with that, and you were getting into who was popular there or making someone popular. Did it also occur to you to maybe, you know, make it available for people who, if they wanted to expose a bad date and be like, this guy sucks?
It was across the board.
Yeah.
You know, and the biggest story, and at that time, the biggest stories we got that would help us go viral were the sports, the athletes.
Okay.
The athletes weren't technically celebrities in that 2009, I would say 2008 to 2012.
Right.
Like TMZ was still just covering celebrities, right? They weren't touching athletes. And for some reason, they got a pass. Then it started becoming a thing because spring training was in Scottsdale. I started in Scottsdale. A lot of baseball players were, you know, really minor league players, but they were going to the clubs saying that they played for the Dodgers, right? So, or the Angels or whatever it was. So it was easy to have these guys as marks to call them out, and the girls would call them out too. Like, you know, hey, I slept with this player. No, you, this guy's really making like $5,000 a year. Like,
oh my God,
relax, right? but you had Matt Leinart there, and Matt Leinart was our big story because he was partying with Nick Lachey, and he was always, you know, hooking up with ASU girls, and he had some party back at his house with a beer bong. It got on SportsCenter, and then the dirty just went boom. It went crazy. Then we started getting the Kobe Bryant affairs. We started getting all these different affairs, and that's how it all kind of trickled in. And Tiger was just not very smart about who his alliances were with. Mm. And you can't have someone like me, because at that time I was getting paid $20,000 to $25,000 to show up in Vegas to do appearances because the site was so big.
Right.
And these are all the same circle of friends, right?
Right.
And they're telling me this stuff about Tiger and all this, you know.
Did you believe it?
No. There's no chance. Like, you look at Tiger Woods, I go, first, A, no one's going to bang that guy. Right. And then you're like, you know, he's married, his wife's hot. Like, everything, you know, on paper, you just couldn't believe it.
Right.
You know, but then I didn't believe the Kobe stuff either. That was wild.
Right.
So you just never really know. People are all different behind closed doors.
Absolutely. And so what was your criteria you would use for, you know, sources or for making sure that you wouldn't publish something unless you had like all the right, the facts, basically?
It was tough. It was really tough because honestly, I would say 25% of the stuff that I got, I posted because I was just inundated with a lot of like revenge porn.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, just vulgar stuff. A lot of it came from Canada, to be honest. Mm. And I never went with that because I had advertisers, you know, and at that time, it's crazy to say this, but like even Google Ads wasn't even invented yet. So I had to do the direct, you know, door to door salesman and say, hey, you know, we want this club or whatever to advertise. So I would still be kind of picky, but at the same time, I would talk like some of the girls that came to me, like Stormy Daniels. Mm-hmm. She gave this crazy story that she slept with Trump in Lake Tahoe. And how am I supposed to, come on? Like,
right.
She's like, tell me Ben Roethlisberger walked me to his room. Uh-huh. And I'm like, how am I supposed to believe this? You know? And the craziest part is a lot of the times when I would get stuff, I would ask for comment. And I would get a legal letter, C&D, or, you know, Marty Singer would call me, right?
Yeah.
So then if that happens, it usually means it's legit.
Yeah.
And I learned this just from, you know, lawyers approaching me thinking that I had stuff when I never even had stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're just threatening me with lawsuits. Like girls or athletes would know that they made a mistake or cheated or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they would just assume or get so crazy in their head that I would have a videotape or I would have a picture or whatever. And then they would get the lawyer to call me and say, hey, we're making a statement. This is not real. He doesn't have this. And I would never deny like, hey, I don't have anything.
Yeah.
We just listen and just take it in. then they would give me the information. And then I would say, okay, well, hey, this is out there. Does anyone have it? And it would come to me,
yeah.
You know, which is crazy. But the fact checking part, it wasn't as intense back then because I was protected. Well, at least I wasn't really, I wouldn't say protected, but there was no law against what I was doing.
Okay, guys, I'm so excited to tell you about our new sponsor, Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. It took me only a minute to download all my information into the app, and after that, I saw how many subscriptions I was paying for that I didn't even know. I mean, when was the last time you joined something just to get a credit check or sign up for a dating app or try things out that you don't even know that you're still getting charged for? I saved myself $500 by canceling these things, and Rocket Money gave me the option to have them cancel it to make it that much easier. Over 80% of people have subscriptions they forget about, and chances are you are one of them. Like that Stars app just to watch that one show or that free gaming trial you never actually used. Rocket Money will quickly and easily find your subscriptions, and for anyone you don't want to pay, just hit cancel. It's that easy. Rocket Money also helps you manage all your finances in one place and automatically categorize your expenses so you can easily track your budget in real time and also get alerted if anything looks off. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year. Stop throwing away your money, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/understood. That's rocketmoney.com/understood. rocketmoney.com/understood.
Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well with dinners you can personalize to your own taste and lifestyle. Make more time for your summer goals with their convenient step-by-step recipes with options ready in less than 30 minutes. Plus, cut down on meal prep with pre-proportioned and prepped ingredients, including pre-measured sauces, spices, and dressings delivered right to your door. Eat well at lunchtime too with their 10-minute lunches. Each week's menu includes two convenient, low-prep, and nutritious lunch recipes ready in just 10 minutes. No cooking required. Perfect for when you're on the go or for when you're pressed for time at the office. I try to be conscious of what I eat, and I love that everything in Green Chef is pre-proportioned for me without having to measure. Feel your best with nutritionist-approved recipes, including meals under 700 calories, protein-packed meals with at least 40 grams of protein on average per serving, and flavorful plant-rich vegan and vegetarian meals featuring certified organic produce, good-for-you grains, and plant-based protein. Okay, you guys, let me tell you about my experience personally with Green Chef. I got my box delivered to the door and it was so easy. I opened the box. There were three separate meals in bags, all separated for me to make it super easy. Also, it comes with a little card that gives you all the instructions of how to cook. Now, let me tell you something. I do not know how to cook and I get very stressed about thinking that it's going to be really time consuming. I looked at the card. It was 30 minutes or less, and I ended up with a sage brown butter chicken piccata that I swear to you tasted like I was sitting in a restaurant. I was so excited. I called my friend Kelly and I said, I'm a chef. I know that sounds ridiculous, but having meals like this in your home literally make you a chef. So you guys, you've got to give Green Chef a try today. Use our special discount code for a great deal. Go to greenchef.com/understood50 and use understood50 to get 50% off plus free shipping. That's greenchef.com/understood50. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. But were you considered a journalist then? And you were protected by...
Not through journalistic standards, no.
Okay.
I was protected through this thing called the CDA.
Okay.
The Communications Decency Act, which basically said that no website owner is liable for any third party content. So, and then that's...
So even if you exposed somebody's affair and you were affecting their career, which a lot of people, that's why you're getting letters from Marty Singer or whatever.
Yeah.
They wouldn't go after you and say, you don't have the facts. You shouldn't have put this out. I mean, did you ever get nervous sometimes that would be like, I shouldn't have posted this because I don't really know if it's true.
No. At that time, I didn't care. I was too young.
You didn't care.
Full transparency. No. Yeah. At that time, like I was like getting off on the fame and getting off on the clicks. And you have to understand, like I was doing 10 million people a day.
Wow.
Like there was nothing like it. There wasn't even apps. Like there, that wasn't even a thing. So, and this is direct organic traffic, yeah, which doesn't even exist anymore.
And that just goes to show you how much people feed, the public feeds on
gossip.
Yeah, gossip, seeing people fail, seeing people that are really high up take that big plunge.
And I will say, like, in today's day and age, it really does bother me because doing what I did was not easy. Mm-hmm. And having the balls to do what I did was not easy. I got sued, you know, 50 times. I went 50-0, but it cost a lot of money to get that site to keep going.
Yeah.
And the reality was, is I did have a loophole, but the law wasn't set in stone. There mm-hmm. wasn't precedent. Right. So I had to do that. I had to go to the highest levels of courts. I had to do 2 jury trials. I had to do like all this stuff with random, you know, people that I don't even know in like Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Right. And sit there and fight and fight and fight for free speech in my head, free speech. Yeah. Right. But now you look at it now, it's like everything's fair game.
Yeah.
You know, social media has made everything fair game. Des Moines, like all this stuff. It's like blind items. You could say whatever you want. You know, it doesn't have to be real or true or whatever. Yeah. People just believe anything.
Do you think the site would still be doing well, or you think it'd be shut down for cancel culture?
No, I got out right before I felt like the Me Too and a lot of this stuff was happening.
Yeah.
Because as fun as it was it right? In my personal opinion, no. Mm. For me to tell a girl that, you know, you're 3 procedures away from greatness, like that's not, you awful. Know, yeah, it's, you know, and I have a daughter. So now,
yeah, now you see.
There was a lot of things that happened in my life. Having a daughter was kind of a shot. Mm-hmm. Having MS, mm-hmm. as you know, was kind of a shot. Like there was a lot of things that were adding up to where I was like, okay, I said I was going to do this till I was 40 and I couldn't even get to 40. Like, I think I stopped at 38, but I was just in that place where I was maturing as an adult and I'm looking back on things. And as funny as it was a different time in culture where you could have the locker room talk and it was acceptable and it was funny and you could act like Trump and
get
away with it.
Yeah.
And now you can't. Like, so no, the answer is anyone that's tried to replicate this thing has gone to jail or mm-hmm. has got fined or got sued and it's not possible.
Yeah. I mean, just as someone who went through it and was someone that you talked about on the site, you know, I can speak for women that go through that. So this was 14 years ago. It still affects me in a way that there's a stigma that goes with being with the other woman that you can't get away from. But then when the media or people in the media use these like trigger words or whatever that trigger other people to like join in because they're feeling angry about what's going on in their life or whatever it is that makes people want to jump in this herd mentality of like shaming someone to publicly shame them. Like I've noticed for me that it has never really dissipated. I mean, it's dissipated in the way that you have like a cheering squad of people. But, you know, when people meet me, they know my name before I've even opened my mouth, right? They associate it with something. You see the women clutching their husbands a little tighter. You know, you hear, like when I was applying to private school for my daughter, I heard comments that, oh, you know, we have some moms that don't want you here. And it's like, dude, when are people going to get over this? But I really do blame how the media represented me. And I know there was no other option, right? Because as the other woman, that's how you talk about them still to this day, right? But as someone who went through it, it was difficult to overcome and has been.
As someone from my side, mm-hmm. let me tell you what my side was like. When all that went down, right? And I know there's a stigma, right? Mm-hmm. But you weren't the other woman. I know people say the other woman.
Right.
But you weren't the other woman. You were the number one woman. And whether you like to admit that or not, I think you know deep down inside who was number one and who was number two. And I think this thing blew up to the world because of that situation.
Yeah.
So from my side, I saw it completely different, you know, and I think Tiger probably knows how he sees it because it wouldn't have dissolved. The whole thing wouldn't have dissolved if you weren't number one.
Right. And then unfolded the way it did, sort of. And I will say, no one else has kind of remained, you know, the name that's associated with it. it's never left my, you know, it's like Rachel Yucatel, Tiger's Mistress to this day, no matter what I'm
and
seen
when you says. When you see that, does that bother you?
Well, it, I mean, it bothers me because I don't have like agency for my own. You know, I was someone before that happened.
Yeah.
I was a big deal before that. I was like the first lady of Vegas, right? Yeah. I mean, I had a great job. I was respected in a man's world. You know, anyone in Vegas was like a stripper or a waitress. And I had a man's job and like commanded that nightclub that I ran. I commanded the city. You know, doors would open for me. The most famous people would ask for me and would only want me by their side.
Yeah.
And then after that situation, it was like, oh, I don't want to be associated with her. So that was really difficult for me to know that everything that I had worked for, become was like no longer. And how was I going to get that back? And to this day, it has been excruciatingly hard. I mean, if I wanted to be a school teacher, I couldn't. If I wanted to go back into media, because before that I worked for Bloomberg News, I couldn't because it was too much. I came with scandal, kind of, you know, and that's inside. I mean, people that know me, that's so not who I am. Like, I'm monogamous. I love the people that I'm with. I'm, you know, I'm a good friend and loyal, but like, that's not how I was portrayed. And that's like not the media's job to do that either, right?
So, hence the show.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Hence the show, Misunderstood. But I think, you know, I appreciate that after all these years, you know, we're able to laugh it off and it's...
No, I think you stamped your... In history, whether you like it or not, like it will be one of the biggest stories in the world, like no matter what. And he's the greatest golfer in the world, probably one of the greatest athletes in the world.
Agreed.
So for him to have a scandal like that and, you know, that asterisk on his record, it's just never going to go away. And it doesn't go away for anyone, not just you, just the world. Like anyone that knows him is going to know you and you're just connected.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. And I know deep down there's love still on both sides.
Okay. I'm going to move on from that. All right. So you, so you sold the Dirty or you just closed it?
Sold.
Okay.
Sold. Yeah.
And what did you do after that?
I took a little time off. Then I started consulting for a lot of the bigger brands, the Us Weeklies, more the tabloid stuff.
Oh, wait. And I just have a question. Before you sold, were you at the point where you're like, I can't do this anymore, I'm feeling guilty? Or you still were like riding the high of like, I'm making so much money, I'm so famous, but I just want out?
No, it's honestly, like I compare it to an athlete retiring. You sit there and you think nobody likes you anymore. And you think that no one's your friend anymore. Mm. And you're golfing and you suck at golf. And you're just sitting there and you're like planning your next vacation. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, let me go to Bora Bora. Let me do all these things. Let me settle down with my family. Let me hang out with my ex-wife. Mm-hmm. You know, let me do all these things that you're supposed to do as a normal person. And then you realize that you're not really a normal person.
Yeah.
So for me, it was really, really hard. Because you have to understand, I was posting thousands of posts a week. And I was in, you know, 300, 400,000 people's, in the middle of people's lives.
Yeah. And some of these people had, I'm assuming, become friends at this point. And you would have to decide whether or not you're going to do stories on them. I mean, you must have known a lot of people at that point.
Yeah, I would say, yeah. Well, not, I wouldn't say, there was protection in place for some people, yes.
Yeah.
But I tried my hardest not to. Yeah. I tried to have no friends. Because doing that, you can't have many friends. Obviously, the bigger, the higher up people, you know, I would try to help and at least tell them, like, dude, what are you doing? But, you know, guys are guys.
So, like, would you give a heads up to people and be like, listen, there's gossip about, I'm hearing that you're sleeping with all these women, and if you don't quit it, I'm going to have to post it? Like, would you give them a heads up?
No, usually I post it first.
Really?
Yeah. And have them blow up my phone. Everybody. That was the funnest part, was like when I would get something and my phone would blow up. It's the best.
Oh my God.
Because you just hear just the pain in their voice, like begging, like, please, please take this down.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So it starts with begging and then I'm assuming it becomes anger.
No.
Really?
It's tears. It's just tears.
Really?
Yeah. Cause you have to understand, like, I had so much power.
Yeah.
It was crazy, especially in Vegas. Vegas. Oh man. I could get stuff closed down in 2 seconds. It was amazing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. So now go back to what you were saying. So you started to consult.
So yeah. And then, you know, it just, And then COVID, like everything was just a strain on my marriage. I just didn't know. I was so lost. I didn't know what to do.
Was this your first marriage or your second at this point?
Second. Okay. But the first one was kind of short-lived. Mm-hmm. This one was, I met Shane Lamas, Lorenzo Lamas' daughter in Vegas, and I married her once. I was doing an appearance at Tao Beach, got baptized in the pool, went on a double date with Jason Strauss. Strauss said that she's hot. You should marry her. It's a joke. And I married her.
No way.
8 hours later.
Who was, ironically, who was Jason on the date with?
Jason was on a date with another girl who knew Shane, but I didn't. The girl Jason was on date with was forgettable. I don't remember who it was. But yeah, it was pretty much his fault.
Okay. A lot of things are his fault. Do you know that Jason's my very first kiss when I was 12?
Yeah, I could see that.
We dated on and off for 25 years.
Really?
Yeah. I dated him when I was in Vegas. I dated him in college.
Jason Strauss is Eskimo Brothers with Tiger Woods. This is the best.
6 degrees of separation for sure. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to kill him.
I mean, he was my first love. Did you not know that?
Well, I did. I knew of it, mm-hmm. but, you know.
Yeah. But so, you know, when you have that young love with someone that you can't like get let go of sort of. So I would say like he's the one that if somebody said like, who's your heart? It would be Jason.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. But Jason's never going to get married.
No, he's not. He's having a nice
time. So you need to let go.
I've let go. I'm just saying I have a special place in my heart for him.
No, he's one of my really good friends.
Yeah.
One of my best friends. Like he's a good guy. I talked to him a lot.
Yeah. No, he is a good guy. And he's very smart and very successful and taught me so much about business. I mean, taught me everything. He's really a genius.
He's a little aggressive on the peptides though. He needs to...
Okay, well, I'm sure he's listening. So did you actually want to meet her or you did it to be funny? I mean, want to marry her or you?
Yeah, at that point I was at probably my lowest. I think I brought like 10 or 15 girls with me to Vegas.
Oh boy.
And I had to like hide them. And yeah, I was a mess. I was drunk and belligerent. And I was just, you know, I saw her and I was just like, hey, next blonde I see.
Right.
I'm going to marry her.
Wow. But it lasted 11 years or something.
11 years, 2 kids.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was no regrets there.
I think now it's really tough, you know, and you look back at it and you're always like questioning like what was the intention, mm-hmm. you know, on her part, like mm-hmm. who's crazy enough to marry me after that, you know, but then you grow. It was weird because it did work because we grew, we were married. So we kind of had to do it backwards. Mm-hmm. So we would go on a lot of dates, but we were married. So usually you don't go on dates when you're married. Right.
Yeah.
So it's just, it was kind of like we grew into each other. And then when she got pregnant with my daughter Press, I called her Press because of, you know, all the media attention.
Yeah.
And, it just, once I had my kids, I was like, wow, this is the most amazing. Life is so amazing. When I had her, I was like, I took her to Disneyland almost like every day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was like super dad. Like it was so fun. I would take her everywhere, you know, but then you go through something traumatic like divorce and now it's, you know, you feel for the kids,
yeah,
you know? So that's the regret. It's like, oh man, like did I bring kids into this world to give them pain? And that's, you know, it's never your intention.
Right. All right. So yeah, kids totally change your life. When I had my daughter, I didn't even think I wanted kids. I'm like a dog person. Uh-huh. And I had her, I was recruited to do the Amazing Race and they give you all these shots and they, give you a pregnancy test.
Uh-huh.
And they called me like 15 days before we were supposed to start. And they said, good news and bad news. The bad news is you can't do the show, but the good news, I guess, is you're pregnant. And I was like, what? So I was shocked, and I actually learned on September 11th that I was having the baby. So I remember crying, taking like peeing on 20 pregnancy tests. It's really funny when it says not pregnant, you just toss it and you're like, I believe it. But when it says you're pregnant, you like go through the entire, totally. You spend like $200, you know.
How crazy is on 9/11? That's a sign.
So right? It was a sign because I was just dating the guy at the time. I just started dating him, you know, and he was nice enough, but he was also 10 years younger than me. And I had a conversation with my best friend that evening. He was still at work. And I said, what am I going to do? She said, Rachel, This is the 10-year anniversary of September 11th. This is like meant to be, that you are supposed to turn a leaf and know that today is the day that you don't have to feel sad about things, but it's about your future and look forward. So at that moment, I was like, I'm having the baby and I'm going to tell him tonight. So I never looked back. But had it not been some special moment like that, I might have been like, this, all the signs point to this not being the right time, you know, but it's never the right time. Yeah. I don't think, you know, so, but she changed my life. I love her more than anything. She teaches me about unconditional love all the time. Like, I didn't really grow up with, you know, parents that were so in my life. And, so they're the best. My daughter's now 11. How old are your kids?
11.
11.
Yeah.
It's such a great age.
Yeah.
I just took her to Taylor Swift. Have you gone?
No, but it's so much pressure.
You have to go.
The tickets, like, it's a lot.
It is a lot. But the expense is so worth it for that memory. I, you know, she wanted me to film the whole stupid
thing. Did you do it at MetLife?
We went to Philadelphia 2 weeks before because we weren't in New York the weekend that she came to New York or New Jersey. So I spent the entire time videoing her reactions to everything. And we went just her and I. I would never go do something with my mother if I was 11 years old. I would think that was so lame.
Yeah.
We both dressed up. We both got all, you know, Swiftied out. And I thought, and I hate concerts, by the way. I thought it was so much fun. And I was like in tears watching how excited she was. And by the way, what an amazing concert where everyone knows every song. Everyone's up the entire time.
Everyone's singing.
Yeah, it's like, you got to do it. So that's my push. And I didn't even think I knew any Taylor songs besides like Bad Blood or something. I knew every song. And I was like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with her.
She's an amazing performer.
She is amazing. Yeah. And it's not like she's Celine Dion or something. You know, it's not like she's the best voice ever, but she's just fantastic. She's a great songwriter.
She's hot sometimes too. Like, I look at her, I'm like, gosh, she's kind of hot.
Yeah. Well, she's so tall and blonde. And
yeah, she's got that like model-y thing.
Wafy.
Yeah, but I'm trying to get over the blonde thing.
Well, that was a question I was going to ask you later, but we can get into it. Like, have you gotten to the point yet where you're old enough to know that you should like look for different qualities besides like sexy and hot?
No.
But that's
No, I wish. And I think that's the problem I'm having right now as a single man in this world is that I am still looking at the wrong generation.
Right. So what do you want? Girls in their 20s or something?
I don't want them.
That's what
that's just
you're aching for.
That's just what I see.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like you have your blinders.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, I don't know, for me, I just, but there's a huge, like, since I've started FACTS, so going back to after retirement, whatever, and then it's been 7 months, I started FACTS, FACTZ.com, and it's actually an app, because I was like, wow, I'm like, there's an entire generation that has no idea who I am.
Yeah.
And it's so refreshing, and it's so fun, and they're young, and they're... Gen Z is like, I wouldn't say mean, but they just don't care.
Right.
So, and they don't know anything.
Like, is it because they're ignorant and they don't get it?
They don't process the same as we do because of technology.
Right.
Like they're just quick hitters. They want to know information right away and they're out. Like they don't want to read. Well, they don't want you to tell them what to do. They want you to tell them what to do, and then they want to take credit for it, saying, you know, that wasn't your idea. I just did this on my own, which is not true. They can't do anything themselves. I love them. I'm fascinated. It's honestly, I'm not even kidding, Rachel. It's like going to the zoo and you're looking at these animals and they don't know how to coexist together.
Yeah.
They don't want to go on dates. They don't want to touch each other. They don't want to receive flowers. I learned that the hard way.
Oh.
They don't want to do anything. It's just crazy. And so, yeah, the point is that I need to start looking outside the box, maybe into that 30 scale.
How old are you now?
44.
So, right. I mean, so you're not going to be attracted to someone who is maybe in their 30s, who maybe is a mom, single mom, who has
like— Are you
like
trying to ask me out right now?
No, I'm 48. I'm almost 50. So, I'm just saying, okay.
I thought you were younger.
But I would if I was in my 30s or late 20s.
Why? Don't you go for young guys?
Because no, I hate young guys. I didn't finish my story. I ended up marrying that guy who was the father of my child at the Little White Chapel. Isn't that
the
where
same
you,
one?
Yeah, isn't that where you and Shane got married?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was at someone else's wedding and they were like, you're glowing.
Dude, you want to hear crazy stories? Taylor Swift was walking out while we were walking in. How random is that?
Do you think she got married and nobody knows?
No, she wasn't that like famous yet.
Oh.
But everyone's like, oh, that's Taylor Swift. I had no idea who she was.
Interesting. Why do you think she was there?
She was there, like one of her friends were getting married.
Oh.
She was just randomly in Vegas.
I will say it was a really fun thing. I mean, as I walked out, it was like, you know, they played That's What You Get for Waking Up in Vegas. I had 20 people there because we all left the other wedding and came to mine. It was so fun, you know. But then afterwards, you're like, oh, Jesus.
I had all the club guys. I had, you probably know, Brandon Rook. I had, he was wearing a tuxedo t-shirt.
Oh, God.
Mike Myers was there. He did a speech. He was rolling his balls off.
Oh, my God.
So it was all the guys.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, at least you had everyone there.
Yeah. No, they were in shock, but they were supportive.
Did you go to Sapphire's or the Rhino after?
No, because this was during the day. This was this wasn't like, because we tried to get married right from Tao.
Yeah.
But it was, you can't get your license past like 2 a.m.
Right. Yes. That's right.
So then we went back to the hotel. We stayed at the Venetian, made sweet love. And I'm like, and we woke up and she's like, you still want to get married? And I was like, I'm down. Let's go.
Amazing.
And then we did it like during the day. Like it was
while
like,
you were somewhat sober.
No, I think I was sober. Yeah.
I love that. Okay. So what's your thoughts on, do Gen Z women sleep with you on your first date? Maybe not you, with men?
No.
Okay.
No.
So
they're emotionally disconnected in a way that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
They don't take on risk. Like they're not like, I would say millennials are more deep divers. Like they're like, just go for it and deal with the repercussions afterwards.
Okay.
I think Gen Z is a little bit more guarded, more of like in their thought process is not geared towards, is this good for me? But it's more, is it good for my overall brand?
Huh.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah. And brand meaning, do any of them have jobs? Besides taking off their clothes in their bedroom and putting it on Instagram?
Well, those are the ones that make real money. Yeah, right. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. It's like they're in it for more of the location tag. Is this guy going to take me to Komodo? You know, like that's their vibe.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But it doesn't end in like what the guy that's actually paying the Komodo bill thinks.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So it's, we're so disproportionate now as in relationships. That's why you see a lot of these dating apps are actually working, because you find two people that actually really want to date.
Right.
But now the guys and the guys are just getting so lazy and they're so turned off by these women that they're not even chivalrous anymore. They're not opening doors. They're not sending flowers. They're not doing anything that they should be doing as a respectable man to women. Right. And I think a lot of Well, no, a lot of it has to do with the way these kids were brought up. I'm not blaming parents, but like if you put technology in front of a kid, they want instant gratification. They don't want to hold hands and walk down the Champs-Élysées and say, you know, let's go take a picture under the Eiffel Tower.
Mm-hmm.
They want to take the Uber to the Eiffel Tower, get the shot, put it on their Instagram, get back to the hotel and watch Netflix. Like they have a routine, right?
Right.
The way we grew up, it was completely different. There was this thing called love.
Yeah.
There's this thing called romance. There's this thing called writing someone a card or a love letter or, you know, doing the little things to show that you appreciate someone.
Mm.
Their generation's more of like expected. They expect it. Like this person got this, or this person is in this location. This is where you need to take me. This is Mastro's, a picture of my food. I've never seen anything like this. Like I've never seen so many pictures of food in my life.
I know. And it's crazy to watch people on dates because they're both on their phone.
Yep.
They're both taking pictures. Like no one is ever present or having a conversation, it seems, which is bizarre to me. But also what I was going to say about the dating apps, there's so many options. So I don't think people stick around very much. Like I had a woman on from Netflix. They have the show Jewish Matchmaking right now. And I had her on and she was talking about the tips and tricks she has for getting people married. She's married over 200 people. And she was saying, you know, you should not even touch them for the first 5 dates, not even a hug, not even putting your hand on their hand. Because you want to really know them and really see, you know, have this energy where by the 5th date, you're just like dying to be physical with them. And if you do it right off the bat, it like takes everything away. So she was giving me this advice and I'm like, wait a second. There's no way that a man would wait around for five dates anymore because he just has too many options. He can go home and screw somebody else and still go on the five dates, but it just doesn't make any sense. And the women will be nervous that they're going to lose the guy, so they'll sleep with him anyway. So I just think it doesn't work that way.
I think that's a New York mentality.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. It's so hard. It's so much harder than it used to be.
Oh, you can't even meet someone, especially normal, in New York.
Well, anywhere.
Well, that's true.
We're in a totally different world. And I don't know. I think the older we get, the harder it becomes.
Yeah.
Just because, you know.
Well, for women, for sure.
Well, I think when you build a life with someone, mm-hmm. you don't want to do it all over again.
Yeah, that's
so true. So like people in our position, mm-hmm. it's like, dude, we're going to have to put a lot of work in, mm-hmm. a lot of sacrifice, a lot of, you know, time spent, and we're going to have to build something with someone.
Yeah.
So they could try to be on our level. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. And I'm more attracted to someone who like wants to be in us. I want a witness to my life, you know, like I want someone who's my teammate, and I find that sexier than like a one night stand with someone that's hot.
You're a package.
I would always revert back to the person that's like, but this guy knows me and I know him, and I'd rather have that and feel that comfort and that love than this person who might be hot and fun and sexy for like the now, yeah. but like, to me, that's not the whole package.
Yeah, you want the unicorn.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, so let's get back to facts for a second. Okay. How did you come up with the idea? So you had not been in the media platform type of thing. Okay.
So I think for me it was, I looked at what I did. Mm-hmm. I went back. I wrote a book about the dirty. I went and reread my book. This was back in 2013.
How did
14.
The book do?
Crushed, because yeah. it was, you know, people were just dirty fans.
Yeah.
So they just wanted to see how it started. And I wrote about it. And I wrote about all the girls I slept with, first and last names. Like, I kept it really dirty.
Wow.
You know? So it was.
Did you get any blowback from that?
No, because 50 Shades of Grey started becoming a thing. Like, oh. it was my honest truth. And it was, honestly, for me, it was really good just to get it all out of my system. Okay. You know? But it was open-ended. I would probably never do it again because it was really hard, but mm-hmm. like it was good, to get all that emotion and all the past out.
It's really cathartic, right?
Cathartic. Yeah. That's the word. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, when I did the dirty, I was like, okay, well, these are the popular things. There was Perez Hilton. There was TMZ. Deadspin was a sports site that was starting to get legs. There was MySpace, social media. So I said, let's try to combine all these things and make a home, right? Mm-hmm. And I think taking the best of all these little things and putting it together, what I try to do was study what people like or mm-hmm. what was getting them brainwashed. So with facts, it was pretty much the same thing. I'm like, okay, well, no one's typing in .coms anymore. Like, that's done. Everyone's focused on Instagram, mm-hmm. TikTok, Snapchat. They want the YouTube vibe. So what I wanted to do was incorporate the old school blog style mm-hmm. with Instagram, with TikTok, and make it feel like, at least for Gen Z, that they're getting lost into a place with content.
How often is it being refreshed and updated?
I would say once every 30 minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's constantly being refreshed with content, but I try to stay on the get ready with me. That's the hot thing right now with these girls. Guys are fascinated. They had no idea. Girls.
So like what kind of story would you do about that?
Just the video of the girl putting on her makeup and talking about her life.
Yeah.
Guys had no idea.
Right.
And they are freaking out.
Why? Like,
because you just think like you take a girl on a date, you don't know they sit there for 2 hours and then talk to themselves right. in the mirror, and they're like putting all this layers of foundation.
And they probably look like a totally different person.
Totally yeah. different person. Yeah. They start like this and then they end like a filter.
Yeah.
Right? It's crazy.
It's amazing what makeup does.
So yeah. those go viral. So I do the viral videos, then I do the breaking news. I do a lot of politics stuff because Gen Z has no idea about civics.
Do you do it in a way that they can understand
yeah.
it?
Yeah. I dumb it down.
Okay.
I dumb it down. So okay. so I do that and I do.
But do you take a stance on politics or do no. you try and do straight up facts?
I try to do facts and I try to, we're purple. We kind
of
have
the middle
like,
of blue and
yeah,
red.
So okay. so we try to go both sides. And we really tried to like, we have kind of like a code. We want integrity. We want people to live in honesty. We want people to have high morals. You know, we want them to really thrive and show more positives than negatives.
Okay.
But we will showcase, you know, breaking news. And then I have a paparazzi team. So I have a team in New York. I have a team in LA.
Oh, wow.
And they're all ex-TMZ guys, like from the old guild, you
wow.
know? And I tell them like, hey, this is what I want. You know, I want it to feel old school because these kids don't know it. To them, it's so refreshing.
Yeah.
They're just like, wow, I've never seen anything like this before. But for you and I, it's like, what right. do you mean? This is what we grew up on, right?
But so, because I've asked you a couple times, I was like, wait, I can't find it. Explain, it's on an app.
Yeah.
I feel like a dinosaur saying this.
So if you go to the app store on Android or Apple, you type in F-A-C-T-Z, pops right up.
Okay.
You just download the app. But you can't go to the .com. There is a .com.
Okay.
A mobile site. FACTZ.com. Mm-hmm. And then we started a podcast.
Right.
And that's doing real well. And that's FaxPod.
And what kind of guests are you, like, what's the theme of it?
I think for me right now, I'm really focused on more of that millennial Gen Z influencer type. Okay. I think that.
Do they have a message or they're
no,
just.
No, I think the message is me asking them questions and trying to figure out who the hell they are.
Okay.
And I think people are fascinated by that.
Yeah.
And I think they're even fascinated. They're like, wow, like that's someone asked me a question, you know? So that's kind of what I'm going for. But at the same time, like I'm going to have you on my show. I want to do our show in the Hamptons. Like I want the vibes, you know? So, because there's still legacy that these kids love.
Right.
They love seeing it. And they're like, wow.
And what you're targeting is so important because these kids have like 7 million followers. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they do it because they're not a household name. Like if you said a lot of these people that I know, and even younger people will be like, I don't know who that is. But if I ask my daughter, she's like, oh yeah, mom.
Oh.
She's such a big deal. I'm like, okay.
My son plays baseball. He's 7, right? And I interviewed this guy who plays for the Savannah Bananas. It's like this funny, you wouldn't know. I'm just starting to get into it. But it's like a funny baseball team that does TikTok tricks in the middle of a baseball game.
Oh, that's cute.
But they do millions upon, like, the 10 million views on their videos.
Isn't that incredible? I'm always like, who are these millions of people? I don't get it. But it's very interesting. But it's funny because like my guests are totally different. Like I'm looking obviously for people that are misunderstood, but I'm looking to get like Lorena Bobbitt. Yeah. What happened to her? And because it's the after the
so
Me Too thing.
I love that.
But it's like because Me Too happened, remember back then she was seen as such a crazy psycho who like just cut her husband's dick off, right? Yeah. Now it would be like, let's talk about domestic violence, how important, you know, that is, and what did you really go through without all the shaming? I mean, I want to know what happened.
I will say I'm proud of you because we had this call before you were doing all this stuff, and this was something that you envisioned.
Yeah.
And you stuck to your guns and you did it. And you're not in this for the views or the likes or anything like that. You're actually getting to the facts of real people that have real stories. And I think, you know, yes, am I misunderstood? I would say, yes, I am. But I did things, you know, and I have to own up to those things. And it's not something that I could be like, oh, well, it was a different time. Like, yeah, it was a different time, but I still did them.
Do you think that what you learned from doing the dirty.com is helping you now
with
your new platform?
Big time. The time it took me to build that site, it took about 5 years to really get it off the ground. Mm-hmm. Fax has got off the ground in 5 months.
Wow.
So I'm seeing the speed of the internet and the speed of how people process things. Mm-hmm. It's a totally different monster. And not to give away too much of my secrets, the people that I'm talking about, no one cares enough to write in the journalist world, the Wall Street Journals, they're not writing about Alex Earle. They don't care.
Well, you know why I care? I only found out about her because of my daughter. But what's interesting to me about her, do you know that her stepmother is Ashley Dupree?
Yeah.
I find that fascinating.
I'm friends with her. I knew her before she was anything. I literally was like,
I'd love to have her on the show. I want to know how she got away with it, got out over the stigma, how she married this guy that has these beautiful children. They have children together.
Oh, you want Dupree on the show?
Yeah. Oh, you know Alex.
She'll do it.
Saying.
Yeah.
I find them to be fascinating. Yeah. And so, obviously, I don't care about the get ready with me stuff, but Alex is incredible because she's created this platform for herself. So I guess people like me need to like get with the program a little bit. And
I think it's, Alex was right time, right place. I think there's a lot of people that were just, their timing was perfect.
Yeah. I think she's also a hot girl that people want to look at, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
she's a hot blonde.
Yeah.
Right. I just know her. So it's like,
it's hard to process
like that. But like, I think with her, the timing was perfect and people were looking for some refreshing person to just be themselves.
Yeah.
Go out and have a good time. And a lot of the older generation were like reliving their life through her. It's like literally you're watching a TV show of our lives back in the day.
Yeah. But I think people in my generation really dismiss girls like that because they're like, oh my God, they're stupid. They don't know anything. Look at how they're making all this money and they don't know anything about hard work or getting a job or beefing up your resume or whatever.
But they also forget what it was like to be 21, 22 and trying to figure out your life in the world and getting wasted.
Right.
You know, like, and now we look at it like, gosh, she drinks a lot. No, we drank a lot too.
Right. That is very true.
Not to defend her. Yeah. Do I think she drinks a lot? She probably does, but we drank a lot too at that age.
And did a lot of stupid things.
Massively stupid, more stupid than her because there was no cameras around.
Exactly. And it just wasn't documented.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So are you chasing any interesting stories that you want to tell me about? How does it work? Like, are you reading all the stories all over the place? Like, Associated Press or whatever would put out, and then you decide what's news and you make it bigger and you go out.
Yeah, I think well, right now that's the play. The play is, it's like, okay, what's the breaking story? What's the angle? Mm-hmm. And I, like, we had a story about the Theranos.
Yeah,
Elizabeth Holmes, right? Yeah, she went to jail, but how was her jail experience? Like, what has her jail experience been in the first 2 days? She's having complete panic attacks. She's breaking down. Like, that's the stuff that we're
like, how do you get a source in there?
What do you mean?
You have people in there that are calling you?
Are you talking about these prison guards? You know how much they make?
Wow.
Come on. They don't make that much. So you have sources everywhere and money's green. But at the same time, what I've done, and this is what I did learn from the other site, I'm cooler than my competition.
Yeah.
Like, people are like, oh my God, I'm talking to Nick Ritchie.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, and they're older.
You have
older.
Some clout. Yeah.
Clout, but also, like, they're not... When I talk to them, they're like, wow, like, and I'm like, hey, let's have a beer sometime or let's hang out, like, whatever. They always remember me forever. And I'm in their mind, almost their best friend, which I wish I could be everyone's best friend. But the reality is the story in itself, they feel like they're part of it.
Yeah. Right? Oh, of course. And everyone wants to be a part of the story, which reminds me, actually, I had someone on my show. We're coming up in July, I think, on the 10-year anniversary of the Anthony Weiner scandal. And do you remember breaking that with Sydney Leathers?
Yeah.
So she came on and she talked to me about...
How's she doing?
She's great.
Show? That's so
crazy. She's great. And you'll have to watch the episode. It will come out like on the week of the anniversary.
Yeah.
Normally, you know, even though... I technically was a mistress too, right? I wouldn't necessarily interview people like that, but I found her story interesting because it was different than mine. She did expose someone. She wanted that notoriety. She did it again to another man after, who was running for politics.
Yeah, but she wasn't targeting.
No, she wasn't targeting. But I think she felt wronged by, like, he started to... he was running for mayor.
Yeah.
And she was like, wait a minute, I'm having phone sex with this guy 5 times a day.
Well, you can't portray the wholesome family image.
Yeah. And he had already been taken down a year before and pretended that he didn't have any more scandals. So I get it. Anthony Weiner is very interesting to me. Have you seen the documentary Weiner?
Yeah, I'm on it.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
It's fantastic, by the way.
It's the best documentary I've ever seen because it was in the middle of the scandal.
Yeah. People should watch it if they haven't seen it because it's so great. And he's actually really real.
Huma Abedin, her reaction was the best.
Priceless.
Ever.
By the way, how did she just stand by him and not get pissed? She's like figuring out kind of how to.
Because the cameras were there. Yeah, she knew. Well, she's Clinton.
I mean, it was pretty crazy. But you do see at the beginning of it how smart he is and how good he was as a politician or as an actor, whatever it is. He was very passionate about what he did.
Yeah.
And also, what made him really good at work was probably what made him really bad.
We sold a lot of Carlos Danger shirts.
Oh my God.
It was so good.
I'm sure you did. But anyway, so for people that don't know, Sydney went to you to break the story and she kept trying to reach you and tell you she had this information about Anthony Weiner, and you did not believe her. And finally, I guess she gave you some sort of facts. Like, what happened?
She gave me pictures of his, you know, and
you knew
shot
it was him.
Well, no, because it was, he was really good at not like cutting out his face.
Yeah.
So Sydney sent me the pictures, and then I had to go to Google and find pictures off Facebook of him on a vacation with sandals on.
Ah, so you could and match the torso.
Well, no, I didn't even have that. I had to match the toes. So I matched the toes, and I said, you know what, Cindy, I'm gonna go for it.
Wow.
And then I did it. I played poker, and and it was the biggest story in the world.
Right. And what's interesting, too, is you kept her name out of it. And she said, she was like, he did exactly what he said. He kept my name out of it. But somewhere else, they figured out who she was and exposed her. And it, like, it destroyed her internally, but she ended up, you know, becoming a stripper from, she was not a stripper before. Yeah, she had no choice. She became a stripper. She did all these crazy things. And I think she even, like, tried to get her labia redone and sell the labia.
She was on the money train. She was trying to make money off of it.
Yeah, right. So,
because she didn't, like, who's going to hire her now, right?
With a name like Sydney Leathers, which, by the way, is her birth name.
Yeah.
So she, you know, she leaned into it, she lived it, and she's, you know, she's doing okay. She's fine. And she's owned it, and she's, like, not, you know, she doesn't live with any shame about it at all. Yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool. But I would love to get him on the show.
I would love to have him on my show.
Yeah, he's an interesting dude. After this, we'll talk. I mean, I know his people, but I think he does not want to relive it, you know? Well, I think it'd be good for him too, like, just to talk about it. Cause
you know, so the Stormy Daniels stuff we broke on the dirty, I was part of that whole $130,000 deal. But
you broke it when it came out years later, even though you knew about it 10 years before. Well,
we broke it in 2014.
Right. Okay. Before the election.
And then the lawyer, it was a whole thing. Like, Trump was trying to get it. It was Michael Cohen was involved. Mm-hmm. This was when the election started.
Yeah.
And we pulled it, and then I felt guilty, and then I put it back up, and it became a whole thing. But that doesn't matter. The crazier part was during the election is that Anthony shared the computer with his wife, and that's how the FBI, the whole FBI thing happened because of the porn or child porn, alleged child porn on the computer that had the Hillary emails because they shared the computer.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was so crazy. So it all came back full circle.
Wow.
And the traffic and, like, all this stuff, and my name was all over the media for the original story because it all led to the FBI investigation on Clinton.
Yeah.
And it literally ruined the election for her.
Yeah.
It was just a wild, crazy connection with that whole thing.
That was nuts. I also, you know, I lived in Vegas with at the time when Stormy Daniels was here. And after the Tiger stuff came out, she did come to me and said, I have a story.
Yeah.
Do you know someone that I can give this to? And she spoke to my contact at Us Weekly, I think. And they ended up saying, you know, he's the biggest star right now on The Apprentice. We're not going to publish this.
Yeah.
And so I didn't really think that much about it, but I believed her. There was nothing exciting about her story. You know, she just wanted to make a couple bucks at the time, but her story was true. And then the fact that she had her moment years later, it was like right place, right time.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I mean, I think she's a fantastic girl, quite frankly. And she's going to come on my show in a couple months. So I think that'll be exciting to hear from her.
No, she's great. I never talked to her directly, but she wrote the whole thing out.
Oh.
And I don't know if it was an email or whatever, but I had, like, the play-by-play.
Right.
And then I posted it, and it was just gangbusters.
Yeah. And I remember her being like, Shark Week was on in the background, and, like, you know, and
it's
like, oh God, this is so boring. No one's going to publish this. But, like, you know, she was having a one night stand or whatever with the president. So I thought, oh, maybe somebody will pay her $50,000.
And Melania was pregnant too at the time.
I don't remember, but yeah, I'm that's crazy. All right. So as I told you earlier, my notes for you fell in the pool, so I can't go off of them. What else have I forgotten to ask you? What should we talk about before you leave?
Oh, I got some, I don't know if I should talk about it though.
We can cut it out later.
Do you know what's going on with that, the whole Scandoball stuff?
I mean, listen, I'm not somebody who watched the show.
Yeah.
I have now started to watch the reunions because, you know, I feel what's like I have on to get into it.
Me too. I'm not like...
I find it bizarre that everyone's in such an uproar about a cheating scandal since mine. Like, no one's ever talked about it in such a way that it's on the front page of, like,
it's relatable,
the New York Times to, you know, Us Weekly, right?
Yeah.
So I find it bizarre because there's so much anger at, well, the two of them, I guess, but at the fact that the cheating happened at all, but all those kids or whatever on the show were cheaters. Yeah. So I don't really get it.
It's very incestual.
Yeah. And I feel very uncomfortable watching how mean, like on the reunion, the whole group was to Tom and then started to be to Raquel when she comes out or whatever. I'm shocked that no one stopped people to be like, you're clearly triggered by something in your own life because this has nothing really to do with you. And your level of anger is almost dangerous. Like, yeah. I almost feel bad for them because, you know, I don't condone what they did, but I don't think it's right for people to be so nasty and be like, close down his restaurant. And I think that's nuts when everybody has skeletons in their closet, yeah. By the way. So who are you going to come out with saying that they're having an
affair? I was friends with Lala. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, she broke up with Randall Emmett, mm. who's the famous movie producer.
Yeah. And this Randall scandal thing came out.
Yeah. I watched that. It didn't really.
Yeah.
It wasn't that good. It wasn't that good. Like, it didn't really. I think the hype was bigger than.
Yeah.
So when I watched it, it didn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
Not to protect Randall because, you know, I feel like I'm in the middle of something, but Lala blocked me. So now, not that I'm team Randall, but I talked to Randall.
Yeah.
I've been in one of his films. Like, I, you know, we have a relationship.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, I'm trying to wrap my head around, like, what's the bigger deal?
Yeah.
Because it's not on surface. Yeah. Like, I get it. He cheated, whatever. But I think I know something that's probably going to hit the fan. Mm-hmm. That's going to blow this out the water.
About Randall, you mean?
I think, because I asked Randall, I go, Randall, did you ever sleep with Raquel?
Ooh.
Because if Lala finds out, she's going to go berserk.
I was just going to say.
Because Randall's, he's slept with a lot of people.
I'm sure. But her level of anger is like beyond anything I've seen.
Well, they're going through a custody battle, right? Uh-huh. So I think, you know, he's playing close to the chest. And she's trying to find cards. So I don't know. But I asked him. He said I was crazy, but he didn't deny it. So
wouldn't that be interesting? But yeah, I feel like Lala's level of anger towards Raquel seems overly...
Way over the top. It's
crazy like to watch.
I think Lala knows something's
or
up.
Has a feeling, yeah. And doesn't want to bring that up because then it's too close to home.
Yeah. Because Raquel is not the brightest.
Yeah.
I could see it happening. And I know Randy's, you know, he's pretty good with the ladies.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The fact that he didn't deny, because when I ask him stuff, he denies it. Mm. He didn't deny it.
Interesting.
Which makes me feel like that weird, like butterfly.
Right. In like my there stomach. Might be something there. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that would be a good one. I hope you get to the bottom of that.
I really don't want to. Because the demo is too old. It doesn't really work. Right. Like, everyone's going crazy, but I don't know. I feel like they're like us. We've only, like, watched parts of the reunion, and we really don't know.
Exactly. So, all right, well, we'll see. But there's got to be another big scandal out there.
There's always big scandals.
Yeah.
Always.
And they always revolve around cheating, for the most part. Those are the ones that people are most interested in.
It's always the mistress getting burnt that's coming and calling and saying, like, hey, I was promised this, didn't get that, and here I am, and this is what I got.
Yeah.
And then now it's different because it's facts, so I have to, like, fact check everything. I have lawyers.
Right.
There's a whole process now because it is more journalistic.
Yeah.
It's a little grown up. Mm-hmm. So.
Speaking of which, I wonder your opinion on whether or not you find this interesting. I, on my bucket list, like I told you about, Rudy Giuliani was on it, but a person who I have always been fascinated with is V. Stiviano.
Okay.
From the Donald Sterling scandal. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And she disappeared after that whole scandal, never to be heard again.
Where is she? Nobody knows?
Oh, I know because I've been talking to her on the phone.
No way.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yes. Yeah, so I.
She made $250,000 on that audio.
Did she?
Yeah. Nobody knows.
From
TMZ.
TMZ. Okay. Well, I believe her stance is that she did not sell it or give it away, but she does have a very interesting story, which I cannot tell yet, but from what she's
I know
told
the
me,
lawyer involved, and she made money.
Yeah. Well, okay. As you know, it's always interesting to me when a woman is taping someone or anyone is taping another person and then uses that against them, because it's almost like they are baiting them to say something so they can use that tape against them in one way.
Well, you and I both know there's no such thing as a leak.
Oh, right.
That's not a real thing.
Yeah, yeah. But what I don't understand is she didn't have like the mistress code. Like, why not go to him and be like, give me $10 million for this, as opposed to, so it doesn't get out, as opposed to, let me give this to TMZ or whoever and make $250,000. It seems like short-term thinking.
I think that she probably did.
And he said no.
And he probably told her to go F herself.
Right. And do you think he was smarter than everyone else, knowing that he could sell this shitty team for a ton of money if he got out of it?
He didn't want to lose the team.
He didn't.
I think for him, he was just senile, old.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those guys that just thinks he has so much power.
Yeah.
He could kill anything.
Yeah. But that was an incredible story. They've come out with a podcast about it. And now actually my friend just cast the whole cast for it, but they're coming out with a made for TV
that's cool.
show, exactly like they did with Elizabeth Holmes.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. And I think that whole thing will come back and people that don't know about that scandal will now know about it. And I had Matt Barnes on, who was on the Clippers during that whole scandal. So he was telling me about it. So it's kind of fascinating to me.
The Clippers still suck. So it
doesn't matter. Okay.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know. I'm not a sports fanatic. All right. Anything else I missed before?
No. So you're going to take me on a date.
Oh yes. You're coming to Palm Beach. Or the other option for you is, because
I've never been to the Hamptons.
Okay, so we can go to the Hamptons. We can go to 75 Main. Have you heard of it?
Heard of it.
Okay, so my friend owns 75 Main, super fun.
Okay.
And he has a great bar, restaurant, and a hotel there. And I'm going to do the podcast from there, people watching, because he has everyone from like, what's his name, Robert Kraft, people like that stop by, have coffee with him. So I think it'll be fantastic to see all the celebrities that just walk by and how they sit and talk to him and do nothing. But you should do your podcast out there. You can find a ton of dirt on people out there if that's what you're looking for. You can, do a
Well, I
want to
get you on my show.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Because I just don't understand why you're still in love with this guy.
Oh, stop. You can ask me that on your podcast. I can't do it on mine.
Why?
Because I don't want to make mine about me so much like that.
I know, but I'm just
Because my whole thing is I've had to live in the past for so long that I want to move forward, you know?
You just want to talk about everyone else.
Yeah. Well, because so many people have talked about me for so long, you know?
This is true.
Yeah. And they're stuck on that one story with me, which makes it hard to get out of it. You know, anytime someone starts an interview with me, that's what they bring
up
as part of my bio. And I know that I have to just lean into it and be like, okay.
No, I don't think so. I think you just find the next guy. The next
Who has to be bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, who could we?
I did sort of date the Gillette commercial, because I did date Derek Jeter. And who was the third guy in the Gillette commercial? I'm sure I dated him. So at some point.
It's not, but that's dating. We need to find.
Yeah, I got to get married to someone fantastic.
We need to find
fantastic.
A good married man with five kids deep.
What? Why does he have to be married? Oh, you need
because
me in a scandal?
We need a bigger scandal to kill the old scandal. That's how you
kill
a scandal.
Yeah, but why does it have to be a scandal? I think that if I could find someone, land them, marry them, then they'll be like, oh, she's credible. She is, and
you
she landed. Well, I know that, but she landed this guy to marry her, because as a mistress, people think, you'll always be a mistress. No one will really want you as their number one. I know what it's like to be someone's number one.
What? I know, Tigers. You were the driver. So wait, what is the longest you've been in a relationship for?
Oh, like 4 or 5 years.
Wow, that's long.
Yeah.
And you thought that was going to go.
Yeah, I'm always in it for marriage. I mean, I dated Brett Boone. Do you know Brett Boone, the baseball player? We dated for like 4 years.
That's
and it
the
wasn't
biggest
that
red flag. Never date a baseball player.
Okay, well, that was a red flag. And the fact that he's an alcoholic and had to breathe into a breathalyzer four times a day.
That
should have been a sign. So
that's a baseball player, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely would say that I had a type for a long time. Now I've done enough work that I'm like, let me not have a type and just try to pick someone that I'm not attracted to, like, such toxicity. Is that a word?
Yeah.
But find somebody that is stable, but that I'm attracted to. I really want to be attracted to somebody. You can't be our age and be, like, bored anymore. Like, I want to feel like I'm 25 and I want to fuck them and touch them all the time, and that's great. But
you don't want to wait 5 days.
No.
5 dates.
Yeah, no, I don't want to wait. I want to be at that point where I'm, like, aching for them. But that they know me and they love me and they're not going to just run off with some 25-year-old because she's 25. I mean, when you're almost, I'm 48, so I'm almost technically 50. You can't compete with 25-year-olds. We're just, it's just totally different.
You're pretty close though. You can compete.
Thank you. But I can compete in the way that I have so much life experience. I'm really fucking interesting. And I'm really thrilling to be around. Like, I will do anything. I'm so much fun to be around. And a lot of these girls, you know, models, they suck because they're hungry. They don't want to smile. But they look gorgeous.
Yeah, but they don't even want to talk about anything. And they have so much life experience too, and they just don't want to absorb it.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
I think a good lesson for women is like, if you don't worry so much about your appearance. I mean, obviously it's great to look good, but like, men at the end of the day will be with the funny girl. They'll be not maybe to fuck them, but they'll marry them.
The sexiest thing is when a woman wears like a baseball cap.
Yeah.
Hair back.
Yeah.
Just getting coffee.
I do too.
It's like just the normal life. When they go over the top, like I'm going out to the club or whatever.
Yeah.
Cause you look at them like, geez, this is like not really who you are.
Right.
You know, you're just trying to sell yourself and you think you need to look a certain way to sell yourself. The most beautiful thing, at least for me, is when, like you said, like when a woman is just herself and this is who I am and she's confident in that. And that's that.
And she could be your personal porn star, but you can also get on the couch and watch Netflix with your kids with her. And you're just as in love with her. I think that's the goal for you, that we're going to find you at The Breakers in Palm Beach when you come visit me, or in the Hamptons. I think
those
that should be our
sound like goal. Very expensive women, but yes.
No, but they're not. They're trying to find.
They're trying to find the exit. They're trying to find their exit strategy.
But trust me, I used to do this at Tao and all the places I worked. I know men and I know women. So we can find someone who will love you for you and not be a total gold digger that you're like obsessed with, that doesn't have to look like a porn star.
I love this matchmaking show that you have, this podcast. Yeah. Matchmaking show.
Yes, exactly. So you've heard it here first. We're going to see if we can find Nick Ritchie.
Dude.
His next. Do you ever want to get married again?
Yeah, I want.
Okay.
I want to see if we can find you your next wife. If I can have another kid before 50, I think that would be cool.
Oh,
but it's not mandatory.
Well, you can have a kid till you're in your 80s, as Robert De Niro just showed all of us.
Yeah.
And Al Pacino.
Yeah.
So it's never too late for you.
That's true.
Yeah. All right. So I guess we will continue this on your podcast.
Yes, Facts Pod.
Anything?
Can I plug that?
Of course.
At Facts Pod is the Instagram and the TikTok. And we're on YouTube as well, and subscribe and Spotify, all those fun things.
Yep.
And then we also have another show that I co-host with Emily Wilson, who's blowing up right now. And she's a younger Gen Z-er type. And that's called JTF, Just the Facts. But you can find both those shows at Facts Pod. And yeah, I cannot wait to have you on my show so I can ask you some really good questions.
Yeah. We'll save the hard hitting questions for me, I guess, because, you know, whatever. You're good at that. You've been doing it longer than I have.
Yeah, it's not a good thing. I just look at you and I just know I can feel it.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, I will see you soon and I can't wait for that.
I'm excited to find love.
Okay, good. And I'm going to bring it to you. Mark my words. I have a feeling.
You really think so?
Yeah. I've actually introduced a couple people that have gotten married, so I do have it under my belt.
Really?
But like, I feel like I may not know you personally for this long, but I feel like I've had a history with you for so long. I get it. I get you. I get it.
Okay.
We're going to make this happen. You got to give me one chance that if I say you got to try this girl, will you at least go out with her?
Ooh, that's tough, because girls have done that before. And on face value,
I would
value,
never do it. On face unless value, I thought it was great.
She's got to be like pretty, though.
I'm not going to get you some troll.
I know, but I've been watching that Jewish matchmaker show. Those girls are so ugly.
But that's, you're not going to get a girl like that. No, she's going to look super hot.
Okay.
But she's going to actually be one of those girls that think she's like a fat girl in a hot girl's body. Do you know what I mean? I love those girls because they have.
What?
No, I shouldn't have said it like that. That she's, you know, she's a little humble. She's not all about fucking any guy that talks to her. She's not going to leave you for a sugar daddy. You know, she has
good. But she'll
good,
eat a mad pasta.
Yeah.
Where does it go?
She probably takes laxatives. Oh, I don't really know. No, we're going to figure it out for you, and it's going to be good.
I'm excited.
I can't wait.
See
all right. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Always.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.